There's always division about the religious state of our nation. When David Cameron was Prime Minister, the Telegraph reported that he ignited a debate over the place of religion in British public life. David Cameron urged Christians to be more evangelical about their faith, which I assume he meant we should be speaking more about our faith. He claimed that Britain should be a more confidently Christian country. Many others sat on the other side of this debate, and at the time, one of those contesting David Cameron's view said that Britain is no longer a nation of believers, that Britain is now a post-Christian country. Sadly, it was Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, who contested David Cameron on that point. Does it matter? Does Christianity matter? Stupid Christians? I pity them. What's the point? Well, there is no point. Christians are indeed to be pitied. The Bible even says so. We heard it just now. Except that the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. Does the resurrection really matter? Well, our topical question this morning in this post-Easter season, 2 weeks on from Easter Sunday, does the resurrection really matter? And without a doubt, the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. What a great question to speak into, especially just after Easter. Do you have your Bibles open at 1 Corinthians chapter 15? I'm sure that will help. And this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth at around 53 AD. My name's Ben Thorndike. I'm one of the associate vicars at All Saints and the minister of St. Richard's. And we're going to pray now before we look at that passage, look at these verses. Father God, thank you for your word to us. And we pray that by your spirit, he would take that word, plant that in our hearts, change our lives. And we do pray that all else might fade away this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does the resurrection really matter? Well, there are many things I could have covered this morning from 1 Corinthians 15 or beyond. Verse 25, that the resurrection is evidence proving Jesus is Lord. Verse 35 onwards, resurrection bodies, what's that all about? We can't possibly cover everything this morning, but I'm happy to chat more. I guess we can't over coffee at the moment, but do email me if you'd like to do that. Does the resurrection really matter? Well, there's good evidence to believe it happened. The gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they're full of evidence. Verses 3 to 8 of 1 Corinthians 15, they give a summary of some of that evidence. Notably, the post-resurrection appearances. Objective evidence, but that doesn't answer our question. The question, not did it happen, but does it matter? In verses 12 to 19, Paul gives 6 reasons why it matters, stating them in the negative. If the resurrection didn't happen, dot, dot, dot. That's the first of 2 things I want to look at this morning. If the resurrection didn't happen, and the headline for that, well, Christianity is false and meaningless. If the resurrection didn't happen, Christianity is false and meaningless. Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, 1, preaching is useless. We preach the Lord Jesus who died and rose again. Number 2, faith is useless. Christian faith is faith in the risen Lord Jesus. If he didn't rise from the dead, then faith is useless. Number 3, verse 15, Christians are liars. When we speak of Jesus rising from the dead, when we celebrate Easter weekend, it's all a lie if the resurrection didn't happen. Easter really is then all about chocolate eggs and fluffy bunnies. Number 4, verse 17, here's a biggie, there's no salvation. We remain in our sins. We stand condemned. Sins are not forgiven. That's quite significant. Let's hold on that one for a moment. Paul seems to be saying that without the resurrection, that the cross is not effective. Paul says it elsewhere too. In his letter to the church at Rome, chapter 4, verse 25, Paul says Jesus was raised to life for our justification. The resurrection plays a part in the forgiveness of our sins and the fixing of our broken relationship with God. Paul's spoken of sins in 1 Corinthians 15:3. The things that cause our relationship with God to be broken. Yes, the things we do and don't do. But ultimately, the attitude of our hearts. Hearts that want to be gods of our lives instead of God. To live how we want. Our hopes. Our desires. Our priorities. Or simply, to live our lives without reference to God. All of which means we live opposed to God, or to use another one of Paul's phrases, as enemies of God. We give God the proverbial two fingers and tell him to shove off. The resurrection plays a part in the forgiveness of our sins and fixing our broken relationship with God. If the resurrection didn't happen, if God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, there is no reason to believe that our sins have been dealt with. Salvation is salvation from something and to something. We can't be saved from something without being saved to something. We're called into a living relationship with the risen Christ. Well, there's no living relationship with the risen Christ if he is in fact dead. Where are we? Verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, one, preaching is useless. Two, faith is useless. Three, Christians are liars. Four, there's no salvation. Number five, verse 18, there's no hope beyond death. All who die in their sins perish. All of us die in our sins if Christ has not been raised, including Christians. So there's no hope beyond death for anyone. Death has won. And finally, number six, verse 19, Christians are pathetic. Christians really are, of all people, to be pitied. Christian faith is faith in the risen Lord Jesus. Christians trust in the risen Lord Jesus. If the risen Lord Jesus is in fact the dead Lord Jesus, he's not Lord at all. In fact, he's just dead Jesus. Which means we aren't saved now. And there's no hope beyond death in the future. The Christian life is a sham. It's a waste. In fact, more than that, the trials and challenges Christians face for being Christians, the present sufferings, they're to be pitied. Does the resurrection really matter? Verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, one, preaching is useless. Two, faith is useless. Three, Christians are liars. Four, there's no salvation. Five, there's no hope beyond death. And number six, Christians are pathetic. To sum it up in one headline, if the resurrection didn't happen, Christianity is false and meaningless. So yes, the resurrection really does matter. It certainly matters to Christians who trust in a risen Lord Jesus. And we have good reason to believe in a risen Lord Jesus. Evidence in verses 3-8. Part of the reason Paul says with confidence in verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised. We've then heard up to verse 19, how Christianity is false and meaningless. But, verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised. Paul then goes on to explain why that matters now in the positive. Why the resurrection does really matter. In contrast to the scenario Paul's just painted for us. Yeah, like a contrasting case study we do at school or on a training course. If this is the case, then X. But if this is the case, then Y. Different scenarios. Paul gives us two scenarios. Scenario 1, verses 12 to 19, hypothetical. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead. Well, we've heard the implications of that. And scenario 2, verse 20 onwards, and this one actually happened, verse 20, Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead. What then are the implications? Why does that matter? Well, that's the second of two things I want to look at this morning. If the resurrection really happened, and the headline here, it's the only hope for the future, and it gives true meaning for the present. If the resurrection really happened, which Paul is convinced it did, it's the only hope for the future. And it gives true meaning to the present. Christians trust in a risen Lord Jesus. Verse 20, Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep in him. by which Paul's referring to Christians who've died. We've already established there's no hope beyond death for anyone who dies in their sins. But Jesus offers forgiveness of sins for all who believe in him, who trust in him. Elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus came so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The resurrection does really matter because it's our hope for the future. The hope of our resurrection. For all who trust in Jesus, the one who's not dead, but alive. The first fruits of the crop, the apples, the potatoes, the corn, you know more on their way. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we can have resurrection life. And if there's no hope for the future without Jesus' resurrection, his resurrection is the only hope anyone has for the future. But it is a hope for anyone who believes, trusts in him. Jesus' resurrection does really matter because it guarantees our resurrection. Hope for our future. The only hope for our future. Hope to cling on to for those we love who've died trusting in Jesus. Eternal life is theirs, so we can be certain we will see them again if we too die trusting in Jesus. That's a real hope too, I know, for Dick Partridge and David Phillips, after we lost Felicity and Carol in quite quick succession. For eternal life is also ours too. We can have life because of Jesus' life. The resurrection does really matter. In the present climate of the coronavirus, we're really conscious as clergy of all the weddings that have to be put on hold. But even though the actual wedding days have been put on hold, the prospects of what's to come keeps changing the couples in spite of all of this. Because the prospect of the wedding day changes us before it even happens, whenever it happens. We get engaged and suddenly we're looking ahead. We're focused on the future, on the wedding day and beyond into marriage. We begin to make plans. We say and do things in light of that. In preparation for it, we begin to change. The hope of the future changes us in the present. The hope of the future changes us in the present. It's not yet fully happened, but we live in light of it. And that's not just weddings, but any future event. Having a baby, for example, changes begin long before the baby even comes. In preparation, anticipation of the future new arrival. Future hope changes the present. The resurrection, hope for the future, changes the present. It gives true meaning to the present. If the resurrection really happened, it's the only hope for the future, and it gives true meaning to the present. And there are different ways this works itself out in our lives. For those who have this future hope, for Christians, those trusting in the risen Lord Jesus, it gives hope through the present storms and struggles of life. Think of the pain and suffering in our lives or our families or our church families. Future hope doesn't ease the pain, but it gives a different perspective on it. Not protection from, but hope through. And not just pain and suffering, but some of the other things we find hard about living as Christians in the present. Areas we struggle, such as evangelism, sharing the gospel, the good news of the risen Lord Jesus with others, when we feel awkward or ill-equipped to do it. Why bother equipping for evangelism in churches, in our home groups, as we did last term with the word one-to-one? Even though that feels like a lifetime ago now. Why bother each of us putting ourselves on the line with friends or neighbours or work colleagues in sharing the gospel with them? Why walk into the hassle of being a Christian, especially one who shares their faith in the risen Lord Jesus? Well, because he is the risen Lord Jesus, not just dead Jesus. Because there is an eternal perspective which gives true meaning to the present. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christians have an eternal hope because of the resurrection. And we know that the only hope others have for the future is in the risen Lord Jesus too. So we are motivated to hold him out to others, not in reluctant obedience, but in joyful anticipation. Other things we find hard about being a Christian in the present. What about giving money or serving with our time and energy? The resurrection, hope for the future, eternal hope gives true meaning to those things in the present. We give sacrificially of our money, of our time, of our energy when we fix our eyes on the future rather than the present. Because of the resurrection, we take our eyes off the present and we no longer look to the present for satisfaction, but into eternity. And we realise our money and time and energy is better used serving the risen Lord Jesus as best we can than used to serve ourselves. This is the essence of what Paul captures in verse 58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Christian, your labour in the present is not in vain, because there is an eternity. Our present labours in the Lord endure into eternity. The resurrection gives true meaning to the present because it sets the present in light of the future. And this hope for the future is the key to getting a right perspective on the present. Think of those who've abandoned their faith because they haven't held on to this. In pursuit of the gods of this age and a particular lifestyle, too busy, for example, earning money or chasing the desire for romantic relationships or sexual fulfillment or relaxing or playing sport, to press on in the faith. Conversely, consider those Christians who face death because they've clung to the eternal hope they have in the risen Lord Jesus. And we think particularly here of Christian brothers and sisters who are persecuted around the world for their faith. This should both challenge and encourage us, each of us here, wherever we're at before the risen Lord Jesus. Think of how quickly we go off the boil as Christians in the challenges of life or the pursuit of worldly things. Or those here who've never put their trust in the risen Lord Jesus because the cost of living for him just seems too great. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present and fix our eyes on eternity. In our relationship with the church family, where there are needs and different areas to serve the ministry of the church that we're aware of, perhaps not what we want to do or how we want to use our time, the resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present and fix our eyes on eternity. Yet there is also so much wonderful and faithful service going on week by week because the resurrection means people have moved their gaze from the present and fixed their eyes on eternity. Or what about where our churches face the challenge to balance the books financially? And giving to support that ministry is costly for each of us. Where giving means we have to make real sacrifices. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Yet people are giving, and the ministry has grown at both All Saints and St. Richard's amazingly unexpectedly over the past few years. Because the resurrection means people have moved their gaze from the present age and fixed their eyes on eternity. I know these are sensitive areas of our lives. Well, forget church finances. What about personal finances? Growing credit card bills for things we can't really afford. We so easily get caught up in materialism. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. What about succumbing to sexual temptation on the internet or in person with those we ought not? For example, adultery or even just flirting. Caught up in short-term fulfillment. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. What about those of us feeling broken today, physically, emotionally, or spiritually in pain and struggling? The coronavirus, social distancing, or perhaps just all the other things we struggle with apart from that. Sometimes in the brokenness of life, eternal hope is all we feel able to cling on to. Wonderfully, the resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. And there are many in our churches who have found true comfort in doing just that. A hope that is uniquely Christian, because we believe in the God who conquered death when Jesus rose again. We have graves in our churchyard at All Saints, so many that the churchyard is full. Each grave is full. Well, the only grave in history that's empty is Jesus. And let's never forget that truth. The resurrection means we can move our gaze from the present age and fix our eyes on eternity. Because of where we're heading, working for the Lord Jesus is worth it. As we finish, remember, we move beyond Good Friday. Easter Sunday came. Verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The resurrection does really matter. Without it, Christianity is false and meaningless. The resurrection does really matter. It's our only hope for the future, and it gives true meaning to the present. We will all die, but we needn't all fear death. Death is a defeated enemy. There is hope beyond the grave for all who are trusting in the risen Lord Jesus. In him, the truth of death defeated and hope beyond the grave is real and true. Death is a defeated enemy. There is hope beyond the grave for all who are trusting in the risen Lord Jesus. If the longing for what's to come begins in our hearts now, we need not fear death as those without hope. The resurrection gives hope for the future. And whilst we wait for the joy and celebration of being with the risen Lord Jesus, this encourages us to continue confidently, living in obedience to him whilst we wait. The resurrection gives true meaning to the present. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection really does matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is the risen Lord Jesus. We thank you for the future hope and present meaning it brings to our lives. Please may you capture in each of our hearts a sense of that this morning in a way that truly changes our lives, that we might love you more in all we think and say and do, not just now, but forever. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.